And we are back, and we just finished watching the wonderfully demented Megan from 2023. I believe it released this year in 2023. It's still in theaters, but you can catch it for buy or rent on Amazon Prime. This is rated PG-13 with a runtime of 1 hour and 42 minutes. This is the story of young Katie, who we previously saw in A Christmas Mystery, played by the lovely young Violet McGraw, who is on her way with her parents on a little family vacation.
A little ski trip.
And then tragedy strikes. She is left orphaned and is shipped off to live with her Aunt Gemma, played by Allison Williams, who I believe is also a producer. Who knows Allison Williams?
Yeah, good investment.
This is a fantastic, fantastic investment. Not an original story. The idea of a beloved toy coming to someone's rescue. Here we have the added benefit of technology and AI and all that good stuff.
Was this movie based off of Freddy Fazbear Pizzeria? About, like, possessed animatronic dolls?
There's tons of stories about robots or dolls. Coming to life for good or bad.
Yeah.
Usually bad.
Right. Very much bad.
Yeah. I mean, we saw it in the 80s with, like, the Chucky series and all that stuff.
Chucky's Terminator.
And that one kid's doll.
Annabelle.
What was that, the lore episode? Eugene, the doll? Was it Eugene or Robert?
Robert, I believe it was.
I was just thinking of that.
Yeah.
I think that's what that movie The Boy is based on.
Right. Yes. With the girl from Walking Dead.
With the girl from Walking Dead, Maggie from Walking Dead.
Yeah.
This is not like a totally original. They've just put a sort of modern
spin on it.
Technology spin on it with AI and creepy that's all getting now.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, it's getting too realistic.
Yes, this was brought to you by Atomic Monster, of course, the purveyors of horror, Blumhouse, mm-hmm. and something called Divide and Conquer. This, fun fact, was filmed in New Zealand.
Wow.
Yeah,
it was pretty.
It was pretty. Lots I think they're supposed to be in pretty Oregon, but this was filmed in New Zealand. So it was interesting to hear so many like American English people instead of people with actual accents. I mean, you would think New Zealand, it would be...
You know what? You just never know now.
That's true.
I guess it would explain the cop who would visit the house. I was like, yeah, he looks like he belongs in New Zealand.
He looks Kiwi. New Zealand cop.
Yeah, but he didn't sound Kiwi.
No, he didn't sound Kiwi. That was the whole thing.
Yeah.
So again, this is the story of young Katie, who's lost her parents and has now been shipped off to live with her Aunt Gemma, who is a tech whiz and makes a lot of cool, interesting robotic toys. Yeah,
I mean, was it cool that she met Megan?
I'm not talking about Megan. I liked Bruce.
Bruce was cool.
I thought Bruce was awesome.
If Megan didn't
turn psychotic,
that would have been great.
Yeah.
That eventually something like that is going to happen.
Yes.
And it'll be like, I don't think it'll be a toy. It'll probably be something that helps people.
Yes.
Until it eventually kills us all.
Which it probably will.
Which, yeah.
Like those robot dogs.
It's kind of inevitable.
Dishes away for you.
Yeah. You'll have like a version of Spot running around doing your dishes. And one day it'll crush your throat while you sleep.
Yay. I'm going to go around the get table and get impressions. Gigi, what'd you think of the film?
It was fun.
Yeah. Did you have a favorite character?
No.
Did you like Megan?
I mean, she was funny.
She was funny. She did a lot of crazy crap.
I liked how over time she just had more like vocal mannerisms to the point where at the end she's just like, Jesus Christ, Jenna.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Like, she was just getting pissy. It was just like, Jesus Christ, Jenna, you're really pissing me off.
You know, we could have done this the easy way, but now.
Yeah, she tries that pen trick for the second time, and it's just like.
Nope.
You think that's going to work again?
What do you think, this question is for G, what do you think of the implications of the idea of creating sort of these entities to basically replace parents? I mean, I thought that was an interesting point that the therapist made.
Yeah, Jenna basically made that.
Or was it her friend? Her friend made that point, right?
Yeah, Jenna basically made that to just, like, get rid of all
responsibility. Not have to deal with Katie. Yeah.
Kind of, yeah. It fell into that. I think, like I said, if things were handled differently, it probably wouldn't have led to evil AI emerging. But yeah, she was kind of asking for that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's funny because her friend Tess called it from the beginning, kind of. Yeah. And then there's that scene with the therapist where the therapist is just completely freaked out by Megan and is like, you're creating this scenario where this child is going to be so dependent on this thing that when you finally remove it away from her, it's going to be
ballistic.
Right. It's going to be as devastating as losing her parents again.
Yeah.
And
you see that happen. Yeah. Kinda. Yeah.
Right, when she goes wild in the room.
She goes wild.
She grabbed a scissor. She's going to straight up murder people.
Yeah.
For Megan.
It was funny. The way the little girl was talking, she sort of, it felt to me like she was like a drug addict.
Yes. She needed like just 10 minutes.
Just 10 minutes. I just want to talk with her.
Yeah.
And like you see that happening with people and electronic devices where that kind of addiction is becoming very prevalent.
Yeah.
And this was just the next step instead of just, I mean, imagine if your smartphone was actually had a personality and was your friend.
Right, right.
Honestly, yeah. I love that because it would be even better than staring at a screen and ruining my eyeballs. I'd actually have someone.
Well, there you go. We ain't getting you an AI. You definitely become addicted to it.
Well, no, I mean, okay. Wait, you know what? I think
you're
Olive,
still here.
I think Olive brings up a good point. I think, so ultimately, okay, so let's backtrack a little. In the beginning, the intentions are always noble, right? Her sister passes away. She really doesn't know anything about parenting. She doesn't really try either, but she really doesn't know much. She's kind of focused on her career. She has these deadlines, and she's been left with a child who is completely shattered, right? And she doesn't really
comfort her.
She doesn't really comfort her. She doesn't really talk to her. It's almost like she's an inconvenience, but one that she assumes, which is interesting because it's like the husband's parents seemed willing to take this child. Yeah. So why didn't you let it? Just because your sister said, oh, I want you to have it. But was she completely equipped? Was she mentally, physically, economically equipped to deal with this?
No. I mean, economically, yeah, but
possibly,
but mentally, no. She clearly enjoyed her solitude and her neat apartment.
Right.
Where please don't touch the toys. They're not toys. They're collectibles.
I use a coaster.
I have this big deadline coming up. I mean, who thinks about deadlines when your sister just died?
Right. You know, right.
This woman. Exactly. Yeah. She was very driven in that way. She didn't have any kind of maternal instincts.
None. None. So it was always interesting to me that she chose this thing to be the hill to die on. Well, my sister wanted it this way.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, I understand that. But you know what? You sometimes have to take a step back and not be so selfish and think that you're going to be the savior here. I mean, it probably would have been in that child's best interest to wind up with her grandparents because I'm sure they weren't working. They could have focused one-on-one time with her. They could have helped her through the grief process. I mean, technically, this child hasn't grieved.
Yeah, I mean, they bring that up.
Yeah.
It was a distraction from it all.
Exactly. Right.
They say that.
They say Megan isn't like
the solution.
Isn't a solution. She's a distraction.
Right.
Which is what it was, because that's pretty much what Megan was doing. It was just entertaining her while she still never spoke about her parents. I mean, there was that moment in the demonstration where that happened, but
Katie turns to Megan. She doesn't turn to Gemma and voices her concerns and her feelings to the point where you see that Gemma kind of has like an epiphany, like, I should probably be more invested in this relationship if I want it to work. After the demonstration.
Does she feel that? Or did she feel like, oh my God, I can't believe we made this thing. And it actually, I didn't program it to give this girl like any kind of sort of therapeutic.
No, but I think that a lot of the, grief. I think that a lot of the other conversations are now coming into her brain. The conversation with Tess, the conversation with the therapist, and just putting together the scenarios of like what exactly happened. Why are these files corrupted and I can't access what happened at this particular day at this
particular
time?
Well, no, she didn't put any of that together until after the old lady disappeared.
Right. But I'm saying, I think a lot of things happened, and she's not a dumb woman. She started piecing things together.
She's kind of oblivious.
Yes, she is oblivious.
That's exactly what I was
saying. She is oblivious, but I think by the time that the whole big production was supposed to go down, she understands that she needs to step up. And she was willing to walk away from kind of a career-ending move by not being there for the presentation.
At that point, yeah, because that's after the girl just explodes. Right, and that's after she already has sort of like, she brings Megan back to the office wrapped up in bubble wrap.
Mm-hmm. She doesn't trust Megan no more. She killed people. She killed a dog. And
let's not give away too many details here.
I mean, it is a horror movie, so we do understand that things
The commercial gives away that she goes nuts, but let's not talk about anything specific.
Weren't you guys just talking about how the old lady disappeared?
Oh, all right. That's a spoiler. Get rid of the old lady bit. But yeah.
So to backtrack a little, I feel like in this case, right, knowing what we know about Gemma, she is career focused. She is not maternal. However, I do believe that her intentions were noble at the beginning to try to help Katie get through her loss because she herself wasn't equipped to do that.
Yeah, I think she generally, because when it first begins, that experiment was kind of done. Mm-hmm. But then when she realized, oh, well, I see this kid, she lit up when she met Bruce.
Right, right.
And that kind of like sparked her again.
Right, right.
To restart with, what is it?
Megan.
With Megan.
So my question is, I mean, obviously a case could be made for this AI product, I guess. But then, of course, in these fantastical stories, things go just horribly, horribly wrong.
Yeah.
So, but kind of what you were saying, these things could be created to help people. Maybe somebody who's disabled, maybe somebody who's blind, having an assistant there to help them with everyday tasks. I think
sort of like Robot elderly, and
you know, I was just thinking about Frank and Robot, that movie that we'd seen.
Robot and Frank.
And how like it would be sort of beneficial in those types of situations. And even in this situation where a young child has lost both of her parents, I mean, that's traumatic.
Well, I think it could be helpful, but it shouldn't be the sole thing. It shouldn't be doling out mental therapy.
Right, right, right.
That should be reserved for the loved one, the guardian, the psychologist, somebody to help her talk it through. Talking it through with Megan is not ideal.
Correct.
But as far as people who are, they need help, elderly, disabled in some way, or just in any sort of situation where you need something that could do a job specifically, that would be better than having a person in that role. Like, I don't know, going into a burning building or...
Sure, sure.
Or, you know, building something in a very dangerous situation.
Yeah.
That's the goal, I think. That's the goal. That's what we would like to head towards. Just don't give it emotions. Please don't give them emotions.
Yeah, because once they get that. And that was another interesting thing, how this sort of like, I mean, to me, Gemma's like sort of God. She has created this entity.
Yeah.
And then this entity keeps recalibrating itself, getting smarter and wiser. And
it even says you didn't put any protocols in place.
Right.
So I had to do it all myself. And that's what you wanted. And look what you got.
Gemma didn't look at the bigger picture. She was just looking at the here and now. And for something like that, she probably shouldn't have given it like this exoskeleton body. She should have done something very rudimentary.
That was another thing. It's like, okay, why would you make it so strong?
Yeah. It's like titanium on the inside.
It was like, she's just 4 feet tall. It's nothing. Yeah, she's made of titanium.
Yeah, she's literally like mini Terminator.
Yeah, exactly.
Olive G, what did you think of this film?
I thought it was good.
Yeah? Did you have a favorite character?
Megan.
Why'd you like Megan?
Because she was very psychotic.
Yeah.
She was very insane.
She was very insane.
And she changed it from the girl to being the primary user to her being the primary user.
Yeah. She was very clever, that Megan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Honestly, I think it was kind of stupid that, what's her face?
Which one? Gemma? Katie?
Gemma, yes, uh-huh. Gemma. Gemma didn't put any protocols. That was kind of, like, stupid on her part because, like, she wasn't unstoppable.
She really was.
She either put, like, a kill button or something in case this ever happens.
Yeah.
I mean, she sort of did, but it was, like, not in a good spot, I guess, because the second time it
failed.
It failed.
Yeah.
Plus, she was able to connect herself to everything.
Yeah. She intercepted that call.
She was intercepting calls. She was turning on and off lights. She was the little virtual assistant.
Yeah, she kind of possessed that thing. And
yeah, just give it some sort of limits. I mean, if you can put it in there, you don't have to put it in there.
Right, right.
I mean, I'm surprised she didn't have, like, machine guns in her arms. Why would that be in a child's toy? Why not?
Yeah.
So, some other fun facts about this. Oh, wait, I didn't get your impressions. What'd you think?
I enjoyed this. I thought it was fun. It wasn't, I didn't think it was scary at all. To me, this is more of a sci-fi movie than a horror movie. It has, like, horror elements to it.
Right. It's more but of a this, thriller,
it's,
I guess.
It's a bit more of a thriller, and I think this is more, the intent of this is just to have fun, to smile, to laugh, to be enthralled. Like, the other recent horror film that we spoke about was Smile, where they just were terrible. Really trying to, like, oh, it's dread and terror. And
it really wasn't.
And it wasn't. It just wasn't scary. It was stupid. And it failed in its primary goal. This, I believe the primary goal was just having fun.
Yes, and it was entertaining.
And it was entertaining. Yeah.
And rated PG-13.
Rated PG-13, so you get a big audience.
Yeah.
The special effects were good enough. Megan looked good. It was funny at the end when her hair got partially torn off. I was like, oh my God, it's Nicole Kidman.
And you don't see any gratuitous violence. I mean, no. Things implied, there's but you things never implied.
They
see
definitely
them.
Could have
gone for the R.
Gone for the R and the goriness, but
they didn't.
They absolutely didn't. Even in like Which, even when she's using certain things that could result in grievous bodily harm, it's never shown or anything. It's,
and I think that was the smart move. This movie clocks in again at an hour 42 minutes. If I was a teenager with disposable income, my ass would be in the cinema watching this.
Yeah.
Absolutely. PG-13. There wasn't too much cursing, or there wasn't hardly any cursing.
Yeah, barely.
There was barely any cursing.
Yeah, so this.
I mean,
absolutely.
Maybe Jesus Christ, but that's not.
Yeah,
me. Megan calls Katie a
bitch. I think. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there isn't. I mean, there's definitely no F words. I don't think I heard the S word. I think B was the extent of.
I think the
profanity.
What was his name? Her boss, I think he said something along as if we're going to kick Hasbro in the dick or something.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That.
Well, that's not really cursing, though.
Yeah.
Some fun facts. This budget was $12 million. The gross U.S. and Canada was $82,274,725. Opening weekend this year in the United States, January 8th, this opened up with $30,429,860. And the worldwide gross on this baby is $146,039,725. So kudos to everybody involved here. Yeah. And yes, I do believe they have signed on for a Megan 2 at some point.
I mean, you did see that little teaser at the end, so.
Yeah, it's horror, so there's always going to be some sort of, oh my God, it's not over yet.
Yes, yes, yes.
They always got to throw
it. It's not over until you end it.
Even when they end it, there's always something. There's the backup copy. My goodness. Oh, wait.
How many Friday the 13th movies are there, or Halloween movies?
Or Chucky
when
movies.
Jason's carrying Freddy's head out of the lake, and then it zooms in on his face, and he winks at the camera.
And he winks at it. He's like, this is my plan all along. I love being beheaded.
Yeah, I mean, this definitely, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, not as good as Barbarian, but better than Smile.
Oh my
for
God,
sure.
No, it's no. Don't even compare Barbarian to this.
Different.
Barbarian is just like, you're watching it and you're just like, oh my God. Barbarian's terrifying and violent. Oh my God, it's so violent.
Yeah.
This is It's about as close to a family-friendly horror film as you can get. I mean, I'm not telling you to take your
five-year-old
to go see this, but it's there's nothing really that bad in this movie.
No, not really.
It's just a fun story with a flavor of horror to it. You know, it's more sci-fi than anything.
Yeah. Do you think that people should be playing God here and creating these entities?
I mean, it's going to happen. AI is going to happen. How it manifests is really what's going to, I guess, be the determining factor here. But it's going to happen regardless. I don't know about, I mean, I'm sure in the distant future, you'll be able to build a robot that mimics a human body. But most of the time, the human body really isn't the best body for what you'd want it for. You'd want a robot to do tasks. So a human body is... We're great at walking around and picking up food to put in our mouths, but there are definitely better ways of building something that's supposed to just pick up boxes and move it, or weld steel girders together, or lift heavy loads. And it's not something that has two legs and two arms.
Right,
it's going to be something more like a tank or a spider or something.
Spider. Yeah. I like that. All right. I enjoyed this.
I don't like that. I hate spiders.
Yes. I'm not a fan of the actual... animal spider,
but if you were gonna build something like more of a caretaker sort of thing, then yeah, you could see it having more human characteristics. It may not have legs because there's the whole balancing thing that makes it a pain in the butt, but I could see it having a sort of human upper body.
Mm-hmm. Australian spiders are the worst.
Yes, everything in Australia. Yeah,
you can't even put a friendly spider in a cartoon over there.
Yeah, I also enjoyed this movie tremendously. I thought it was interesting. It was fun. It moved very quickly. It had some decent tense moments throughout. And I think the ultimate ending or payoff there was gratifying to the story overall. I think Allison Williams did a great job as Gemma, as the woman who's just focused on her career, is lumped in with this child and then has to kind of really examine herself in a way and make some changes. I thought Violet McGraw as Caddy was fantastic. She comes across as very sorrowful and lonely and sad. There are those points where she does smile and that comes through, but it's only with the interactions with either Bruce or Megan. I don't think I ever saw her smile genuinely with her aunt.
Not really. No.
Not really. But
I mean, when she was being shown all the... Like when she was shown Bruce for the first time.
Right.
But yeah, most of the time she was a sad kid.
Sad kid, yeah.
Which is good. Yeah, not that kids
should be sad. But it fits with the story.
In this story, she portrayed herself very well.
Right. She shouldn't be, I mean, she lost both her parents in a horrible accident. She shouldn't be all yippee and whatever.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'm gonna go around the table and get numbers. I'm gonna start with you, G. 1 to 10.
I give this like a 7.
I too would give it a 7.
I too would give it a 7.
8.
An 8. 8, 7, 7, 7. I think yes. If you are so inclined to go to the theaters, you should definitely check out Megan. If you
or rent it.
It's on. It's for rent now. It's for rent or buy if you feel like throwing in a couple extra bucks, but. Yeah, I mean, from where it starts to where it ends, it's highly entertaining. It does the job. I agree with you. I think it's more of a sci-fi thriller more than a horror because a lot of the horror has been taken out. But it is implied, and I think they do a good job here. I think it was very smart to go for the PG-13 rating because I think that you can obviously get a bigger audience.
Yeah.
So you're not limiting this segment of society that has a lot of free time and a lot of disposable income. So kudos to everyone involved. And again, if you are so inclined, go check out Megan. It's still in theaters, or just go rent it. And this episode of the podcast is dedicated to my lovely longtime friend Suzette on her latest revolution around the sun. Happy, happy birthday, my friend. Love you. And let's get together soon for drinks to celebrate you. And that's it from us, and we will bid everyone a
good night.
Good night. Good night.